Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back, you're listening to the Gamercore podcast, the podcast that talks the 8-bit shit. This is episode 47, three more away from 50, Brad.
Huh? Hell yeah.
Yep, as always, it is the Nerdy Chicano here with his host, Young Yoda, because Ashley's not here, sadly. Don't know where she's at. She's probably getting off work late today, but it's fine.
Yeah, probably.
We'll probably steal the ship today. It's all good. It's not as fun when the ship's steered by us.
Right into the rocks. Hello, all gamer boys and girls.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Gamercore.
Welcome to the Gamercore. So, today we've got a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be a little bit of a... I'm going to run it like a simpler format today. I think I'm going to... I'm not going to lie, man. Ever since E3 finished, it's been really hard for news.
Yeah, it's been slow, and it's going to continue being slow, I think, until you get, like, some really big news coming out, like Xbox doing cross-platform with, I don't know, Sony or something in that regard.
Yeah, so for now, we got a little bit of news stories, sales, of course. Today I'm going to run the format a little bit different. We're going to be doing the what we've been playing, going to do all the sales and games coming out and stuff first, and then we'll go to the news. So, Brad, you've been playing anything this week?
I actually have. I've been playing a little bit of Destiny, and then what else have I been playing? God damn it! It's not The Last of Us. I totally forgot what the name of it. Mm-hmm. It's the one that you haven't finished yet.
Heavy Rain.
No. It's in that same regard. Oh, Life is Strange. Life is Strange 2. So I played the three episodes that are out.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually, I think, still pick up the complete season, which is the five episodes, even though five episodes aren't out yet, for like $30.
How's that been?
It's been okay. I definitely don't think it's up to par with the first Life is Strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's still been pretty fun storyline and running through it, but it just feels like, you know, Life is Strange, you kind of have that feeling where your decisions actually, you know, create or cause havoc or don't cause havoc, or they matter. It seems like in Life is Strange 2, they took some of that away, and no matter what decision you make, you're going to end up with the same result. At least that's how I've seen it from my point of view.
Damn, that's interesting. I still haven't finished Life is Strange 1. I'm not going to lie about that because it's a pretty heavy game. And, you know, I've been taking my time with it. But I wanted to get 2 because, you know, what's it called? I want to finish 1 and then go straight into 2. But, yeah, no, that's sounds like a downgrade, man. That sucks.
A little bit. I mean, the story is still... It's still a great story. So it's still captivating. It still makes you want to continue progressing in the game. But it's just once you figure out that no matter the choice you make, it's going to have the same result, it kind of sucks. Like, there's parts in it where you wish you could change it, but you just can't. And yeah. I don't know. I guess that's more true to life than the Life is Strange 1, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, man. And... I've been playing just Pokemon Go here. It's kind of hard for me to play games back home because of the internet situation. But it's called Pokemon Go. Finally evolved my Ivysaur into a Venusaur, so that's really awesome. Other than that, cool. There's been nothing going on there.
I mean, until you can like get some actual streaming internet, you're kind of stuck in that result.
Yeah, just Pokemon Go every weekend. I mean, every week. Sorry, guys. It sucks, man. But when I go back to college, maybe I'll start playing more games. Probably. Let's go ahead and go. It's a new month, guys. And, you know, I wanted to apologize because we didn't have an episode last week. I was really sick, guys. So, you know, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, we're back here and it's a new month. So that means new games to play. And let's go ahead and see what's going on here. There's a list over here. We have on July 2nd, we have Final Fantasy 15 Shadowbringers for the PS4 and the PC. It's a third major expansion for Final Fantasy 14. I'm sorry. So it's available on you know, July 2nd. That's the expansion. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order for the Switch. It's coming out on the 19th. That's awesome. That's what the game that's making me want to get a Switch. So that's pretty cool. Fire Emblem 3 Houses for the Switch on the 26th. Wolfenstein Youngblood, PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch on July 26th. And yeah, that seems to be the big stuff. Stranger Things 3, the game on July the 4th for the PS4, Xbox One, PC, Switch. Let me see what else. Dr. Mario World for the iOS and Android on July 10th. Dragon Quest Builders 2, PS4 and Switch on the 12th. Beyond Two Souls is coming to the PC on the 22nd. Madden NFL 20, NFL 20, Superstar, Ultimate Superstar Edition for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 30th. So, those are some titles to look forward to, guys. And, I've never played Final Fantasy 14. Like I said, I kind of stopped playing Final Fantasy at 10. That's the last one I played. And, but I know that I'm extremely hyped for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
I stopped playing at 13 just because it became a linear storyline and I much prefer the open world.
Yeah.
So 12 was kind of the last one I really got into for Final Fantasy.
Yeah. And by the way, for people who are wondering about the new games that are coming for PS4, for PS PlayStation Plus, and Microsoft Games with Gold, we got that for you. Brad, this is a title that you recommended last two episodes ago. And that's Detroit Become Human. It's going to be free for July on the PS4. It was originally going to be Pro Evolution Soccer 20. But now it's going to be... But they swapped it for Detroit Become Human.
You know, I still say it's the best $8 I spent on a game.
Yeah. It's a digital deluxe edition, so it came with Heavy Rain. So it comes with Heavy Rain.
I think I got Heavy Rain for free, so yeah. I'm only out $8, so I don't feel too bad.
Yeah, and since they had to swap it out, they're still offering Horizon Turbo Chase for people who want to buy that, want to get that for free.
Cool. Cool.
Excuse me. Sorry. So, damn, I should have bought a got of water before this. Games with Gold for July, though. There's going to be some new games for that as well. As always, you already know how it goes for this. We don't have an Xbox One or a 360, but here we go with Games with Gold. For Games with Gold for July 2019, you'll have Castlevania Symphony of the Night from the 1st to the 15th. Inside from the 1st to the 31st. Meet the Robinsons from the 16th to the 31st. And then Big Crown Showdown from the 16th to August 15th. All of these except for Meet the Robinsons and Castlevania Symphony of the Night are only available on Xbox One. The other two titles are also available on Xbox 360 for you Xbox 360 players. All right. So, sales, my friend, sales, what's it called, there's no sales, fucked myself there, there's no sales actually, because it's not July 4th yet, so they usually release the sales tomorrow, and we'll find out what the sales are, so sorry guys, but look, let's go ahead and get into some piece of news here, Brad, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Alan Wake has gotten their, you know, their rights back from Microsoft. Remedy acquires the Alan Wake rights from Amazon in a big monumental move, guys. Like, I was seeing this all this week. So what's it called? There was an updated, there's an update to the article written by Oscar Deus of GameSpot.com. They said that, Remedy has told GameSpot it could bring Alan Wake to different platforms. The company went on to say it had nothing to announce at present. Original story follows. Alan Wake developer Remedy has acquired the series publishing rights from Microsoft. The company announced the news in a message to investors, simply stating the publishing rights of Alan Wake games are reverted to Remedy. Alan Wake and its spin-off American Nightmare were both published by Microsoft on 360, but self-published by Remedy on PC. The developer now solely owns the rights. It seems, though, it's unclear what this means for the franchise going forward. GameSpot has contacted Remedy to ask for the future of the holds of the series, and they said that, you know, it's going to possibly come to different platforms. I think a smart move, especially for a game like Alan Wake that is not that well known. So now you have the possibility of getting it on several platforms. And I think that's way better of a strategy than just having an exclusive to Xbox.
I mean, I've never played this game. But a 9-year gap between Alan Wake's Xbox 360 launch, that's kind of a long time just to shelve a game up without anything.
Yeah. And I remember this game when it came out, and I also notoriously remember how disappointed some people were that it just never became more than what it was. That 9-year gap.
So, maybe once it's in the hands of someone new, it'll actually grab a foothold and become bigger. I mean, look at the Fallout series.
Yeah, you have a point there, man. Remedy does have another game coming up. It's called Control. It launches for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on August 27th. And it's a shooter. But, you know, now they have arguably their biggest title back. But 9 years, I feel like that's a toll on the relevancy of a video game. Especially if nothing was done with it. Brad?
There.
I said that that 9 years of a gap is a toll on a video game for relevancy.
Oh yeah, it just kills the game. That I mean, even it depends. Alan Wake, I think, has a pretty good fan base, so I think it could grow quite a bit. It's kind of like the Fallout series. If Fallout just decided to take a break for 9 years, or even like Grand Theft Auto, which takes breaks for like 3 to 6 years.
Yeah,
they can come back stronger. But yeah, that's quite a long time, almost 10 years, because let's face it, who you're selling to at the beginning of the 10 years is not going to be the same people you're selling to 10 years from then. I mean, still a few, but you know, we kind of grow up and get jobs and end up can't play as much.
Yeah, end up as a broke cowboys. We can't buy
We have to decide between Red Dead Redemption or dinner.
And it's always great to hear a dog in the background.
Oh yeah, it's my background music. Didn't you know?
Yeah,
it's just lovely, especially at 1:45 in the morning.
That I don't know. That microphone just picks up everything, man. And that's great, man. And I think that them getting back their rights, It's a smart play, especially when you think about another developer that got control of their video game with Destiny. You know, Activision finally got it back. That's it. That's all theirs.
No.
Bungie got it back.
Don't give it to Activision, God.
No.
Sorry. Not again.
Brain fart right there. Bungie got it completely back. So, you know, I don't think this is a wrong move, as more of a interesting one to see what they can do with this.
Agreed. And I think the best thing Bungie ever did was cut Activision out of their lives. So hopefully we see some growth and progress in this Alan Wake series, and it becomes as big as I've heard it is good.
Yeah.
become as big as people say as good it is, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on to the next piece of news, of course, written by our favorite article, our favorite journalist on the internet, Eddie McCooch. Yeah, McCooch. Yeah. McCooch. From GameSpot.com, Call of Duty Modern Warfare lets you reload while aiming down sights. That's, you know, I didn't really pick this story because of the aiming down sights reloading. Mostly because of something I saw that Infinity War recently tweeted. You know, they're like, don't you guys worry, we're making the game we want to make. And them bringing in these new changes, also, you know, the no season pass thing, and son of a bitch, my fucking foot fell asleep. Oh crap, my leg feels weird. But look,
What are you doing? Sitting on the floor?
No, I had my foot up on the chair that Luis sits for the Nerdy Chicano. but yeah, that wasn't fun. But look, what I'm trying to say is that shit.
Shit! That's what you're trying to say, bro? Really?
No, really? I'm not. It feels.
Oh, this is weird.
This is what happens when Ashley's not here.
This is weird.
Yeah.
Guys, technical difficulties. Don't listen to the screaming in the background or the moaning. That was
not moaning. Yeah. It's just because it feels like. Okay. Look. What I'm trying to say over here is that it really does look like Infinity Ward is trying to do something different with this game. They're going back to normalcy by doing Modern Warfare. But they're bringing in new things that they can introduce to this video game to make it seem like a different thing from what has been published before. So you look at BO4, and BO4 did, you know, it's not what people really enjoyed out of it. And, you know, a lot of people were expecting it to be something different, and it ended up not being that way. And now you have Infinity War basically seeing what's been going wrong for the past 5-6 Call of Duties, and they're like, we're going to reinvent it and do something different with this. And I think that's really, really smart of Infinity Ward.
We're going to reinvent it by going back to what works.
Yeah, basically, dude. You know, that's the thing that you...
Just no more in the future war games.
Yeah.
Unless it's Gundams or some shit. Like, Call of Duty, just keep it in the modern era, or, you know, go to the past, you can do that, but
yeah,
really, we don't need any more future.
Yeah, we got plenty of games that are based in the future, you know, fiction-style video games. Look, but, you know, this is what should work for them. They obviously had remastered Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. That didn't work out too well. A lot of people had complaints about the remastering of that, too. But what I'm seeing with this, I think it's different. I think that this is going to be truly a return to normalcy, like I said. But it's also going to be a different spin on what made them so popular.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going back to what worked, and then they're throwing in a few special items for all the new kids on the block. I don't know if the whole aiming down sights and reloading thing is going to bring in a ton of new people, but yeah, it sounds something new. I mean, sounds like it'd be harder to kill, at least.
Yeah. What I'm interested with this is, how is this going to work for the competitive scene? That's what interests me.
You just have everybody keep just aiming down the sight.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting. Also, because, you know, I mean, just the new, like, if we're talking about Call of Duty here, your news just hit that Gary Vee purchased the Minnesota team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you know.
That's big money coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I mean, Gary's been saying it for years that esports are, you know, the next big thing, and people should be paying attention to that. And, you know, but I'm like, if this is a return to normalcy, but they're also going to put something different, a new spin on this, I'm going to be really interested to see how competitive looks on this. It's going to be really interesting to see that for sure. And I'm sorry.
I think it's going to be fun to play.
Oh, yeah.
Especially me and you playing it and just probably killing each other or dying.
Dying all the time, yeah. I'm still very obsessed with the no season pass thing. I think that's, I think that's a sign of maturity for Infinity Ward. Because, you know, for years, it's been the season pass, the DLC, and they're like, you know, this, we're not going to give a season pass. Like, you know, DLC is going to be there, but it, I think I read that it's going to be free for, like, free extra maps and stuff.
That'd be nice. That, you know, you pay for a game and you get the full game. Mm-hmm. It's not like an EA or Activision. You know, you have to buy, like, every little fucking thing they come out with. Hey, we got a new map. Buy the fucking map for $20. Like, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Really? You just can't. I already spent $60 on the game. You can't just give me a map.
Yeah. I can't get just a freaking map. That's what always would piss me off. Is that, you know, you can't get a freaking map. But what I hope they fix as well is the matchmaking. Because even though you bought the DLC, matchmaking was terrible. And some of those maps were made so terribly. Like, it's just. What I want them to do with this is, of course, reinvent the formula they've had for years. But I also want them to bring a new spin by making different maps that, you know, then work with different play styles. And it's something that I've been wanting from Call of Duty, because it's kind of been the same thing over and over again. And, you know, what else can you ask for when your game is literally just a first-person shooter, right? But
there's only so much you can do with first-person shooters, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Yeah, but there's also things, new things you can do, new game modes, and I really, really hope that that's what's going to happen, and they're going to add some new things, add some little twists in there, which is, from what I'm reading, it totally sounds like that's what it's going to be.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. So,
I'm looking forward to playing this, though.
Oh, 100%, dude. I can't wait for us to stream this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, so there's a delay in the Cuphead DLC. It's been delayed to 2020, but there's a teaser trailer up. What's it called? I just put this one up for you guys, so that way you guys can could hear about this. It's a 30-second teaser. You guys can go watch it. All I know about Cuphead is that it's incredibly hard. Like, it is ridiculous how hard this video game is.
Is it like Dark Souls hard? Is it up to that standard?
I've heard that the bosses are just incredibly hard. It's when they talk about this game, it's like, you know, it is ridiculous that a game can be this hard and this difficult.
Yeah, so probably better they push it back, because we're not going to end up playing it anyway.
Yeah, I just wanted this for like an update for you guys, to tell you, for you Cuphead players, that it's going to be delayed to 2020. And there's no actual set date here, but it looks like it's just going to be 2020. And of course, the video game is available for Nintendo Switch, PC, and Xbox One. All right, so the last piece of news is one that I want to go into before we go into like a little mini discussion, because there's something I do really want to talk about. And but look, this is something that was really big this last week, Brad. And I think you've seen like multiple tweets about this.
Mm-hmm. I have.
Jeremy Winslow from Greenspot.com basically just breaks down the whole new stuff that Twitch just unveiled, and one of them was the subscriber-only streams. Popular live streaming platform Twitch is giving creators a way to engage with their most ardent fans' subscriber streams. Broadcast exclusive to channel subscribers, launched as a beta on June 26th. Oh. Excuse me, do not want to burp into the mic. Twitch's vice president of commerce, Matt McCluskey, penned a blog post about the news. Creators often ask us for new and better ways to reward their viewers, he wrote. VIP badges and custom sub emotes are just a few examples. The next gadget we're adding to the kit is subscriber streams. McCluskey describes the subscriber streams as an exciting new way for streamers to offer new benefit and offer another benefit to some of their biggest supporters. Guys, if you guys wonder why I'm reading so slow, it's because I have a big ass fucking mic in front of my laptop that I have to move my head over and see the other words. Supporters, subscribers, VIPs, and mods. GameSpot sister site CNET reports that viewers subscribe to a channel at any tier see a streamer's subscriber stream. Non-subscribers will only see a preview of the subscriber stream, but can immediately begin viewing by subscribing. These requirements of broadcasting a subscriber stream, you must be a Twitch affiliate or partner. You must broadcast a minimum of 90 unique days as an affiliate or partner, and you must fall in line with Twitch's community guidelines in terms of service. All right. You know, there's just a lot more about what he believes that they will do. Look, this is interesting. I don't know if I'm really the one to take a stance on this because I'm not a Twitch streamer. The only thing we do relatively this Twitch is the Nerdcore live show, and that will always be available to everybody. So there's no subscriber only mode on that. And we don't even have a partner affiliate status. What is interesting to me is the fact that there was an update that said that the use of subscriber only streams are actually against some terms of service relating to some video games.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
From my just reading on Twitter, I feel like these subscriber streams have mostly got a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
And the streamers are feeling negative towards it, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like Shane and Nikki aren't even going to use it.
Yeah.
So that to me says, you know, maybe Twitch should have thought about rolling something out more useful to the streamers because this doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. Look, Brad and I are subscribers to Nikki. I've been a subscriber for almost 2 years. Actually, I think three. I'm not too sure. I need to check. I've never had a problem with being a subscriber, man. Like, I love the things I get exclusive to being a subscriber. I just love that I'm supporting my friend. And if I could support every other streamer, I would. But I sadly do not have the economic means to that.
Funds.
But a subscriber-only stream, I feel like that is really a way of alienating your other viewers. And I also feel like that's really bad business.
Yeah, because to us, the more content, the more eyes, the better.
Yeah.
And that's how you get more subscribers, not just doing streams. This seems like less beneficial to me than just opening up your stream to everyone and then getting subscribers that way.
Yeah.
Is doing just streams for the people who already subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might make them feel more special or something. But at the same time, I really don't think so. I think just the fact that they stream and they subscribe, they're going to continue to subscribe. So you're really trying to get new eyes and new people to watch you.
Your subscribers tend to be the people who have supported you for a long, long time. So, you know, you're going to keep growing that as much as you stream. I really wish I had Shane in here to talk about this because I would really want to hear his opinion on this discussion. This is the discussion I wanted to have about this. This is the big discussion this week, and I really wanted to talk about this. First of all, I know you guys are going to say, but you guys have a Patreon. You guys literally do exclusive content that we all can't see. But, like, when I think about that is that we put out content every single day. This is extra stuff that people can pay for that would already add to the stuff they get this week from you know, the podcast feed. And, I think that's very different from Anchor rolling out a platform that says only the listener supporters have access to a certain podcast episode. I think that's very different from that.
Well, and I think a lot of people subscribe to Patreon just so they can get like the episodes early.
Yeah.
That's what I think. So eventually everybody gets the episodes except for really the mini pod.
Yeah.
That's about it.
The mini pod and the exclusive shows, you know. And even then, we tend to make some of those, you know, what's it called? Sometimes we decide to make those free depending on when we feel like we can promote the shows that we have in that are on the podcast, Patreon.
What do we want to hear people go? When we want people to hear us talking shit on furries and stuff, that's generally when.
Yeah.
Sonic fan.
You guys really aren't missing much on the mini pod. But so, like I'm saying, like, this would be the equivalent in my world that I know about as a podcaster slash, you know, gaming podcaster. It's as if Anchor rolls out a new update tomorrow. And it's, you know, we have listener supporters on Anchor. I'm not saying that we do. I'm saying that on Anchor, you're allowed to have people sign up to pay money monthly to you to support your podcast directly. So this is the equivalent of, let's say Anchor tomorrow rolls out an update and says, okay, you're allowed to make a podcast episode that's only available to listener supporters and cannot be available to your public. Not only are you alienating the public by never sharing this to them, but it also makes it seem as if, like, you know, there's something else that's going on behind closed doors. I also can understand where this could be, you know, a problem with certain guidelines with Twitch. You know, how do you monitor really what's going on in subscriber-only modes? Because what if your subscribers are people that won't report certain things that you're doing? Like, you know what I'm getting towards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I can see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Where it can get kind of crossing the line.
Yeah.
In a way.
Let's say Chunky Monkey 67 is a streamer with 40 subscribers that are very passionately for him and will do whatever they want for him. And he decides to use language that he's not supposed to use. And nobody on that stream who's watching him will report him. Then how can Twitch be able to monitor that? You know, yeah, other than the community guidelines and that, when nobody was going to be able to actually report that. So this is such a tricky situation, man. And I think that it's also very, very interesting to see that it's also against some of the terms of service of video games.
Yeah, for sure. I just think maybe they just went the wrong direction with this. They should have rolled out something that I think would have had more of the Twitch community support. And yeah, this just isn't it, Chief.
Yeah, it seriously feels like, you know, Twitch rolls out these updates without really consulting the you know, the partners and the affiliates. You know, I feel like there should be some form of like survey before they roll out an update and say like, hey guys, this sounds like an idea that might be on the fence. What do you guys think about it?
Well, and this brings up the question, you know, they have news all the time about the real live streams or the just chatting streams, and some of those streamers were just playing porn.
Yeah.
So what if they just set up just these certain rooms or for subscribers and just play porn the whole time? So this can totally go against pretty much all the guidelines of Twitch.
Yeah.
Without them knowing.
Or also the fact that you still have fucking white supremacists on that fucking platform. And you're able to roll out this new fucking, and you're not able to actually, you know, clean out your platform of the trash that's living on there, and you're allowing to have a platform. It's crazy, man. You know, like, where, like, there has to be some form of way to discreetly you know, set up an actual guideline to what you're able to do on here, because I feel like these subscriber only streams could actually give way to doing some very harmful things if they were to not be monitored as close as some streams are not monitored, because I see some shit on here that where people say some stuff that should not be said, and they, yeah, and all they get is a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, and you know, this day and age, we don't need that shit.
Yeah, so it feels like, you know, of course they say that, you know, they have to follow the community guidelines, but you already don't monitor your other streams that are for the public as well. So how are you going to monitor subscriber-only streams?
Yeah, and once everybody with the same like-mindedness comes together, they're not going to tell if something's going wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, this could lead to really big problems, I think, for Twitch.
And by the way, I mean, this is, you know, the you know, Nikki's community is amazing. I love Nikki's subscribers. They're really wonderful people that I love talking to. I made some of my closest friends through her subscribers. You know, Aiden's a subscriber, and he's one of my closest friends. Grayson Barker, an executive producer of our podcast, you know, he's a subscriber. So I'm not saying that everybody has a community like this, but there is people that are in this, that stream on this platform, that are in it for the wrong reasons and could possibly, you know, have some of these things that we're kind of scared about when you roll out, you know, a feature like this. So,
yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's it called? There was also something else I wanted to kind of bring up. It's not about the Twitch stuff. Last week, the And before I even talk about this, guys, a little bit of a content warning here. I don't, what's it called? I want anybody to be hearing about, you know, such, what's it called, content that may or may not be suitable for you guys that you guys don't want to hear about. So if stuff like death, suicide is stuff that you guys don't want to hear about, go ahead and just click off this or skip out to the last portion and hear all the housekeeping. But what's it called? Last week, the YouTuber Etika died. I believe he committed suicide, if I remember correctly. And what's it called? I wanted to bring up a conversation about mental health and really about the and how it really coincides with this new form of business that we have in the gaming world. And YouTubers are some of the people that, you know, these people are people that, you know, share their lives every day with you guys. And it's really an important thing to see. First of all, I really want to say that rest in peace to Etika. I never watched his videos. I found out about this. But when I read about this, I really wanted to have this conversation on here. And what's it called? If any of you are ever feeling, you know, like you are alone in this world, or if you feel like, you know, you might do something that you do not want to have to do, you know, there's numbers for you to call, the crisis hotlines, or you can reach out to a friend or family member and, you know, and talk to them. But I wanted to talk about this, and I wanted to talk about the idea of, you know, like, this, this is a crazy world we live in, man, especially with the new age of, like, social media and the new form of business in the gaming world, you know, where you're constantly pushing yourself really, really hard. And sometimes that can deteriorate the state of your mental health, and that's something really important that we have to talk about sometimes. And it's good to give yourself a break sometimes, but it's also, you know, good to make sure that you put your health first. You know, for those of you who are medicated, make sure you don't get off your meds. You know, it's stuff like that. Make sure you're getting the help you can get. And you know, this was something that I was really, you know, shocked by, and something I really wanted to talk about. Brad, did you hear about this?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So it definitely, it's always a sad story when you hear tragedies like this.
Yeah.
And I just want to kind of, I guess, around what you're talking about with the social media. I think social media is probably, it's great in a way that it helps keep people in contact with one another.
Yeah.
But it's also horrible in a way, mm-hmm. because usually social media only shows one side of someone's life.
Yeah. Yeah,
they never show the hard times or the sad times or the bad times. It's generally only the good times. They show. This is one of the reasons I stopped being on Facebook, is because you get these constant points of these people on vacations or these people going out and doing things, and you just end up thinking like, what the fuck? I just stay at home and I go to work and I just do this. And you don't realize they're only showing the good parts. They're never showing the struggle.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people need to realize is don't believe everything you see.
Yeah.
Because you're only getting one side of the story.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's a good thing to point out that us creators are human at the end of the day, guys. You know, we may have different opinions from what you guys, you know, even though we joke about, you know, the Sonic fanboys that were attacking you, Brad, or the people who, you know, were attacking me. You know, at the end of the day, we're human beings, guys. You know, we have feelings. We have different ways that we react to being told these things. If I didn't have a such I don't give a fuck attitude, I know that some of those comments would hurt me. And being constantly told about things. So, like, you know, you may not like what somebody says about a game that you play or a movie that you watch or music that you listen to. But that's not any that's not an excuse for you to go out and, you know, basically belittle or, you know,
or attack
somebody for just having a different opinion than yours. You know,
if anything, why don't you start a conversation with someone and see why they have that opinion?
Yeah.
And don't try to marginalize them. Try to see where they're coming from.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, like other things like the outliers. I'm talking about, like, you know, cause like the YouTube channels I watch, like, somebody as simple as saying, oh, I didn't like, let me see. What's a really good opinion? Okay, yeah, I loved Aquaman, Brad. But I know a lot of people that said they didn't like Aquaman, and so many people came out and attacked them, saying that, oh, they're this and that, like, you suck, your opinion sucks, your, like, your movie taste sucks, like, why are you even a YouTuber, why do you even do movie reviews, like, stuff like that. It really gets to people.
Well, and you know, I think people have to realize, you know, we're not all the same. Like, yeah. What you saw in Aquaman, what you enjoyed Aquaman, was not the same thing that I saw and didn't enjoy. I mean, there were parts on it, specifically the trench, which I would say everyone probably enjoyed. That shit was awesome. But other than that, this is the whole reason we do this show. I think why me and you do so well at this is we don't have the same opinion all the time. Me and you get in on it on a bunch of different shit that, you know, we may think something, you may think something's awesome, I think it sucks, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But we talk it out, and at the end of the day, we kind of just live with it. Be like, like El Mariachi, you gave it a 5 out of 10, I gave it a 9 out of 10. But we have our own reasons.
Yeah.
And the fact is, we can talk about it, understand it, and then move on from there.
Yeah.
We're not belittling each other and going, well, you know, you giving a review of this sucks. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like with Venom. You know, both of us really dislike Venom.
Yeah.
And that's been proven over and over. But if somebody wanted to come in and state why they like Venom, I would hear them out.
Oh, yeah, and I'm going to hear them out. We would
have an opinion and conversation on why they liked Venom, and we would have the conversation, you know, on why we disliked it, for the fact that it was taken down from a rated R to a PG-13. The very fact that's what happened made that movie bad in my eyes.
Yeah.
But we could have an adult conversation about it.
Yeah. We both bust each other's balls all the time, you know. That's just the way we are. But I never... ever, not a single creator I listen to, I watch, I never go into the comment section, or I never tweet them that, saying like, hey, you deserve to get hit by a car today because you don't like a movie that I like. Like, that's just not right, and that's just not the way we should be treating creators, because we put our, you know, we put so much time and we share so much of our lives with you guys. And You know, a lot of the, I feel like a lot of the people that do these things are, you know, attention seeking, and, you know, they there's something going on in their lives that they feel like they need to get a moment of like, I did it to feel momentarily happy. But what I'm trying to say is that there's no reason why you should go on and say like, oh man, this guy just fucking sucks. I don't know why he makes videos. Why don't you just kill yourself, dude? Like, that's, I've seen people do that, and it's just not right, man. It's just, that's just not the way you should be acting. And, you know, that really can get to people. And it's a lot of it is, has to do with the toxic culture of social media. And, you know, just the YouTube comments in general are a fucking cesspool, man.
Yeah, I mean, it can get horrible. It really can. And I just think, you know, there's just asshole people in the world, one.
Yeah.
That's just a fact, and there's nothing we can do about that. Some people actually think they're trying to give, like, good criticism. They just don't realize that they're just doing it horribly wrong. And it comes out condescending and just being an asshole is sometimes how it can come off of. But yeah, that's what I mean, you can give critiques on something without being an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to get some, it'd be like, you know, Zack Stentz movie. I thought it was pretty good. You thought it was pretty good. Did it have its issues? Yeah. And we gave our criticisms on that. But we weren't assholes about it.
Yeah. We're not tweeting Zack every single day saying like, dude, what the fuck did you do with that script?
Your movie doesn't deserve to be number one. Like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Like, why? Like, I sometimes I just think people need a hobby.
Yeah.
Or they need to go out in the sunlight or something.
Yeah.
Because that just ends up being bullying.
Yeah.
And that's not cool.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. But also, I just want to bring up, you know, don't make a permanent decision based on a moment.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to make a decision, really think about what's going to happen, how your life is going to change, but don't make it based on how you're feeling at one certain time.
Yeah. Yeah. Reach out for help, man. please do reach out for help to a family member, to a friend, to one of the crisis hotlines. Those are very important. You know, you guys, please, like, you know, these are decisions that could really affect so many people and yourself too. And, you know, I wanted to hit something else, you know, for us creators as well. We're grinding so much. We put so much time. You really do deserve a break sometimes, guys. And it's like, you know, if you need to take a couple of days off or a week, you know, it's you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not, you know, I'm a very, you know, like, you know, like that. Like, I'm really like, you know, I need to do this. I need to do that. But I also have a team that is with me that can pick up the load when I'm not feeling right. When my grandmother passed away, Brad and Ashley took over for me. You know, that was really good of them. But I know that there's creators out there, like streamers and YouTubers, who don't have a team on them. And it's really just them. And it's okay to take some time off, because then you're just jeopardizing your mental health in there.
Yeah, and I do think sometimes you just need to have me day. Yeah. I mean, even yesterday, I had moved a bunch of stuff, done a few things physically. So I just told Raul, I'm like, dude, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
And luckily, Raul was pretty cool with that, and it was just a discussion that we were only going to do on Sandman.
Yeah.
Which we can always cover at another time. Well, so I'm glad you were okay with that. And anytime I've ever said, like, man, I'm tired, you've always been pretty okay with that.
Yeah.
And I usually just, if I know it's a really important thing, I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how important that is, and I find it important. Yeah. But it's also good to stay, even with the team. Like, if you're tired and you're not going to bring your best, let them know. Yeah. I mean, because you can find someone else to fill in. I mean, you've done that before. You brought in Shane before, and it's always turned out great. Yeah. And that's the thing, is if you need a day off, take a day off.
Yeah. Yeah. Take your time off, and, you know, really, like, really give yourself the time you need to breathe, because, you know, and knowing the community that you have and the people that really surround you and the people who listen to you or watch you, they're going to understand, especially if they know your history of mental health issues. You know, it's going to be okay to take a little bit of time off, you know. And I really hope that, you know, the creators that are listening to this understand that. Like, you know, we really want to be, you know, constantly on top of things and want to push ourselves to do so much more than we're already doing. I get that. But your happiness is also something that you need to take into effect. And if your happiness is being jeopardized because of the way that you're pushing yourself, I think it's time to step back, take a couple of breaths, take 2 or 3 days off, come back and reassess the situation. It's okay. It's okay to do that.
I mean, and one group I watch on, or did watch on YouTube, was Sugar Pine 7, who now their channel has ended because the creators got to the point where they were tired. They were burnt out. They kept producing show after show every day. They were a part of Rooster Teeth. They've made it really far off, you know, coming off of the end of Source Fed and then doing their own thing and getting picked up by Rooster Teeth. But at some point they just weren't loving what they were doing, and they wanted to do something new. And that's totally fine too, because you'll have supporters that follow you, really, and they'll be interested in what you're doing. So if you come to terms that, you know, you don't like doing Twitch anymore, or you don't like doing YouTube, you can find something else.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. If you truly feel like you've done all you can do, you know, and you've really outgrown the platform, or you really feel like you want to move on to something else that makes you much more happy, I think that's fine. I think your supporters are going to always understand that. And, you know, it's not something that it should be a crime. You know, it's okay. You know, you can stream instead of doing it daily because you don't like it anymore. Concentrate on that side thing that you really feel happy about and just go back to streaming like once a week or once every month. But
which, you know, is how Sugar Pine 7 starts. So I hope they go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Yeah. They truly gave it their all, and they just were burnt out.
Yeah. But I just wanted to talk to you guys about that and remind you guys that, you know, you're not alone. And you know, there's always people that are out there that can listen to you, you know. But, you know, give yourself the time to breathe and also give yourself the time to really, you know, get the help you need, you know, because, you know, kind of putting aside the problem for so long is only, you know, only going to hurt it more. You know, you really need to, you know, get the help you need. And, you know, I'm not saying that there's certain ways that you should go about things and there's ways that you shouldn't. I'm just saying that there is a way for you to get some sort of help. I think that that's great, and I think that that's the way to go about things. And it's really sad that we had to lose somebody else. And you know, things like this are never easy. You know, especially for the fans and especially the family. But you know, it sucks, man. It really does suck. And I really hope that everybody kind of learns a valuable lesson from all this. It's really, you know, to be there for the people that are close to you. You know, especially the creators in your life. You know, really, really talk to them. Be kind. Be kind, people. If you don't have anything nice to say, please shut the fuck up. You know, there's nothing else to do. Just shut up. You know, if you really want to insult somebody, fucking do it in the window, or I'm doing it in the fucking window. I'm sorry, the mirror. Pretend that that's the creator that you're talking to, or something, whatever. But there's no need to be, you know, mean to other people.
Although you can send all your hate mail to us to Straw Hat Alex.
Yeah, Straw Hat Alex, Straw Hat_Alex on Twitter. Direct all the hate mail. Yeah, especially the guy who thinks that I'm being paid by Marvel. So please direct that hate mail.
Although, I get being passionate to a point, but there's some things that if you're way too bad, you really just gotta let go sometimes. Yeah. Just, you know, especially if you're talking to me, because mostly, most things, I just don't care.
I just don't give a shit.
I just don't give a fuck. Yeah. I mean, and you're gonna, I will admit, I will troll people if they start things, because if you start it, I'm finishing it. I mean, and I am trying to go through this phase where, you know, I'm trying to be kind and not go to that place. So don't bring shit to me. I won't bring shit to you.
Yeah.
I think that's the golden rule.
I'm usually here's my thing. I just ignore you straight up. I just don't respond.
Or mute. Mute is the greatest thing ever invented on Twitter.
Yeah.
Dude, they don't know I block them. They just don't know that I just can't see them.
Yeah. Like, you know, I was in a Facebook group. They were talking about Alejandro González Iñárritu's work. And people were saying, you know, what's the best one? And somebody put beautiful. I said, hell yeah, that's my favorite movie of all time. I think it's a great film. Somebody literally replies with, beautiful is whack. What did I do? I didn't get mad. I didn't tell them to go fuck themselves. No, I just ignored them.
That's a troll just asking. He's bored and he just wants to start something.
Yeah. So you know, what's it called? If you're going to send me shit, chances are I'm not going to see it. You know, I'm not going to make my way to see it. I'm going to ignore it, first of all. And, you know, it's okay, guys. It's okay for other people to feel differently about a subjective thing. So your content, your favorite video games, your favorite movies, your favorite music, guys, we gotta calm down. We can't be attacking people just for them liking things that you don't like.
By the way, Ro, anytime anybody ever attacks me, I usually just send it straight to you laughing.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah.
Hey, Ro, watch this.
I would have sent you what that guy sent me, but you know, it contains spoilers for Spider-Man.
I'm glad you didn't, because I still need to see Spider-Man.
Yeah, I still need to see it too.
Oh, by the way, the best best Alejandro movie is Babel. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, Brad's wrong. So, you know, yeah. Look, it's been a fun it's not been a fun time talking this. You know, but it's been a wonderful time here to talk with you guys and that. You know, this is a short, different episode of the Game Record. I really wanted to do this one. And we're going to see you guys next week. As always, you know, the Patreon supporters get this a day early. If you want to become one of those people that get it a day early, you know, in an ethical way, go ahead and go to the patreon.com/nerdcore. Sign up for the $1 tier. You get this episode a day early. You get the Nerdy Chicano show a day early. You get the Ladies of Nerdcore episode early. The Impact Files, you get that a week early. So, you know, you get a lot of cool stuff early for the $1 tier. And you get an on-air thank you, by the way. Go follow us on the Nerdcore_ on Twitter. Instagram at the Nerdcore. Facebook page, the Nerdcore Pods. Follow the Facebook group. Join it at the Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group. Also, shout out to our executive producers, Grayson Barker 98 on Instagram, WarlordHitman 98 on Twitter. Grayson, you're fucking awesome, dude. I fucking love you so much, man. Thank you for being the OG, the first executive producer. Our third executive producer is Journey, Isomoka underscore Jorn on JOURN on Twitter. She's fucking awesome, dude.
I need to check with her because I haven't heard anything on the pop. It should have gotten to her.
Yeah.
We need to check on that.
I messaged her. It's just a matter of her opening her messages and seeing sending it. But
okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if it doesn't get delivered this week, it's probably going to be next week because of the whole 4th of July stuff.
That's true. It's supposed to be delivered by Tuesday, but it may take processing time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do have the tracking number, so I could always just look that up.
Yeah, just look that up. But Brad, tell us about our favorite streamer, Shane. Well, my favorite streamer is Nikki, but you know, one of our favorite streamers.
Definitely a top tie, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely a tie. But you can follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/srrkk or on his Twitter at srrkktwitch.
Mhm. All right. Well, it's been a wonderful time. I really miss Ashley. I love it when she's in here. I really wanted to hear her thoughts on this, because you know that's you know what's it called. There's been episodes of what's it called Nerdcore where she hasn't been on. I mean the Green Gamercore where she hasn't been on. We miss her, but we know we understand her being at work late. You know, so that's fine. You know, that's
gotta make that moolah.
Gotta make that moolah, right? Look, what's it called? It's been a wonderful time, guys, and we'll see you guys next week. We're 3 episodes away from 50. It should be really fun, and 2 more weeks until San Diego Comic Con. Marvel Games is gonna have a panel there. So we'll see what stuff we get about Avengers. Hopefully something that looks good. But let's go ahead and cross our fingers for that. But it's been a wonderful time. And you can catch Brad and I on the Nerdcore podcast. You know, we're going to be reviewing something. I don't know yet. We're probably going to talk about that right now after this episode ends. But let's go ahead and send them into the podcast void, Brad.
All right, Roll. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We truly appreciate each and every one of you. Leave a rate and review, comment to us, let us know you're out there. We'd love to hear from you. And I guess in the next episode, actually, I'm going to change it up. In this episode, I just want to send out a lot of love to Nikki, a lot of love to Shane, and a rest in peace to Etika. And Young Yoda out.
Mm-hmm.